Welcome to episode 460 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is George, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander Travel agents Sandy and Elizabeth. Celebrity Cruises is a premium cruise line known for elevated service, dining, accommodations, and more. Recently, several, but I would say most, Outlander travel agents set sail on the Celebrity Equinox for a conference at sea. The 8-night sailing provided plenty of time for work and play, and they want to share their experience. So let's get started.
We missed you, George.
Yeah, I'm kind of a little bit bummed. I've never been on Celebrity, so that would have been nice. But at the same time, I have this almost exact same itinerary schedule for December. So, yeah. So we're doing the same thing, 8-night Curacao, Aruba, and Labadee. So pretty similar.
So not Celebrity then?
Not Celebrity. Nope. I'm on Royal. So I'm actually going to be on Odyssey. So another new Royal ship for me.
So, yep.
Cool. Yeah.
Awesome.
All right, so you guys were on Celebrity, which one was it? Equinox, but it's part of the Solstice class.
Yes.
Solstice.
Why don't they make it a little Solstice. Yeah, easy for you to say.
Oh, Celebrity's going to love listening to this podcast. Yes.
So looking at all your photos as you posted them throughout the week, it looked like a pretty cool ship and had some really interesting features. Anybody want to point one out?
Well, I'll just spill the beans. It has a glass blowing class and honestly, I didn't spend any time up there because it was 100 degrees outside. And the last thing I wanted to do was stand in front of a glass blowing oven. But there's only 3 ships that have this glass blowing thing. And it's a full, like, they have the kiln and everything. Like, you can actually blow glass.
Wow.
And it's classes. Yeah. So I have to say, I've been on a lot of cruise ships. And I feel like that's probably Royal had their trapeze class, which was super cool. But putting fire on a ship seems pretty ballsy to me.
On the top of the ship. It's out there in the wind. Yeah.
So at least it was outside.
I was surprised because we were, kind of touring the ship the first day, and that's the part of the ship that has like the lawn, which is another unique thing they have. I thought that was really cool too. But up there on the lawn, they have movies out there too. Like they have a big movie screen and you can watch sporting events.
And it's real grass. We had an Outlander spouse with us who was actually, that's what he does for a living is horticulture and agriculture and literally groundskeeping. And he was fascinated by this grass growing on the deck because, salt water and salty air is not good for grass. So he was seeking out the horticulturist the whole time. I don't know that he ever actually connected, but there were many conversations where he started talking about types of grass and I'm like,
Yeah,
and I love him. He's a wonderful person, but I'm like, I have no idea. You might as well be speaking, Greek to me.
That would be cool because I'm really into lawn care too, and getting ready for a lawn reno and playing with different varieties of grass. And
he was really unique.
It's cool, and there's a bar back there too.
Oh, of course there is.
Well. Celebrity, I think all of their ships, I'm just saying that off the top of my head without doing any research, but I'm pretty sure all of their ships feature a sunset bar. That's like a Celebrity thing. It's called the Sunset Bar. It's aft. It's at a great location. It's so pretty there. And on this ship and several others, it's right off of that grassy area. So it's very popular at night. And of course, to watch the sunset. So that was actually the first bar that we tried, but it was probably the most crowded bar that we tried too, I think, of all the nights. I do think that a lot of people go there for Sail Away as well. So that was probably part of the.
I never made it back out there after that first night.
I considered going back out there, but it was so crowded. And I was like, well, there's perfectly good bars inside. So
there were a lot of bars. We had a lot of bars.
Yeah.
We did good.
I will say that I think sometimes people hesitate to do older ships because they think that they don't have. Cool features. And, granted, the newest Celebrity ships have the magic carpet, which is a huge draw and definitely an engineering marvel. But these ships, I mean, there were some rough edges. There was some, you know, they probably need a little bit of soft renovation for some of the furniture and stuff like that. But overall, I mean, there was a glass blowing thing. I mean, you know, this is not, this isn't a, I think I said, I mean, several times. I need to stop doing that. it's not a dated ship per se. There were some places where it probably needed a little bit of TLC, but for the most part, I felt like I was on a fairly new ship. You know, it had all of the features that I would want from a cruise ship.
I love this size ship too. It's like 2850 is the number of passengers it can hold when it's full. And to me, that's just kind of a sweet spot. I like that little bit smaller, you know, when you're going, you're close to the elevator, no matter which side of the ship you're on, walking back and forth is not hard. So yeah, I really liked this ship. I thought it was nice.
So is the grassy area unique to this class of ship, or do they have it on others?
I think it's on Solstice and above, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if I was on Edge, and I remember there was grass, but I can't remember if it was real or not. I don't know if it was turf. So I honestly cannot remember. And I was only on a 2-night sailing for that. So to be fair, I didn't have a lot of time. And I wasn't with John, who was like telling me all about the difference between this kind of grass and that kind of grass. So so I think it is. I think Sandy's right. And those are words I don't say very often.
You always talk about what good ideas I have.
I've never said that out loud in front of her. I think that the Apex class has, or is it Edge class?
Edge class.
Yeah, I was on the Apex. Yeah. It's the Edge class. Yeah, we should probably fact check that. The internet is commenting as we speak.
Sure. So, Elizabeth, did you get to see any of the suites when you were on board?
No, not on this ship.
Okay.
I didn't. No, I had a concierge level room, but I didn't see a suite. We did have a friend who was in a suite, but I did not, you know, go up to his room. It would start rumors.
Well, nobody else would know except other people in the suites.
Right. And anyone else who saw me walking up. No, honestly, there was no time to go exploring. So, and the ship was sold out. So we also, even this was a work trip. And I'm sure that Celebrity would have been happy for us to see some other rooms had they been available, but the ship was sold out. So there weren't any available rooms.
So I put a note in here about what you get when you are in the retreat, which are the suites. Even though I did not experience it, but they include hosts. There's a special restaurant, Lumine. There's a retreat sun deck and a retreat lounge. And of course,
I did get to experience the lounge and Lumine because I know people and it doesn't seem improper to go into those places with people. So I went to Lumine for breakfast. I actually was very honored to have breakfast with the vice president of sales for Celebrity. So that was really nice. And it was very quiet and exclusive. And I kind of wish I could have eaten there every day. And then the lounge also was very quiet. And they had not only did they have scones, but they had clotted cream, which is something that you can really only get for other than United States. I was like, oh my gosh, they have clotted cream. I didn't see that anywhere else on the ship. I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't expecting it. But the lounge was lovely. It's not very big on this ship, but it was definitely a nice little retreat, dare I say.
So this almost looks like they're called retreat suites. And it seems to remind me of like the Yacht Club or the Haven. So is it a ship within a ship concept?
No, the retreat lounge is off of, for this ship anyway, and I don't remember on the Edge class ships it being totally separate either. Like the cabin I was assigned was on the same floor as some of the Sky Suites, and I was just in concierge, so there's even Aqua class in between, so it was not exclusive to that floor. The retreat lounge was actually right off the Ensemble bar right next to Murano restaurant, which seemed like a weird place for it, but it was still really quiet. And then Lumine is actually not far from the main dining room. So everything was sort of, and that was on deck 3. So Lumine on 3, retreat lounge on 5, Sky Suite was on 12. Right. And there were suites on 10 as well, but you know, yeah. So they're kind of spread out. But they do have those little exclusive areas. So once you're in that, you know, I feel like you're a little bit more exclusive.
So go ahead, Sandy.
I was going to say, do we know anybody that was in Aqua class?
I don't think it was available for our group.
Okay.
And the people who were in suites were, you know, generally executives and things like that. So
Aqua Class gets you a cabin near the spa, and you have access to the Persian Garden, which is, it's not really like a thermal spa where they have like the hot tubs and stuff like I've seen on some of the other ships, but it did have those heated loungers and steam sauna, stuff like that. So, and then they have a special restaurant called Blue for the Aqua Class. Only Aqua Class can go there.
And I'm sure that part of the reason they weren't available to our group is because we were in classes all day and wouldn't have been able to take advantage of said thermal spa.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
All right. So what benefit comes with a concierge classroom?
So, and this is the eternally debated, is it worth it thing with celebrity. And I think that question is always subjective. You get a pillow menu, which I think is valuable, and some upgraded bedding. I think upgraded amenities as well. Although I didn't see a regular cabin to know, but we had like J.B. Bigelow amenities.
That's different than what we had.
Okay, so upgraded amenities. In the afternoon, they bring you a little plate of hors d'oeuvres every day, and it was good. And you get a bottle of champagne. And then the location can be a little bit better for some of them. Like the aft facing suites are either suites or they're concierge. But not all of them are like that. Like mine was on the side and had a normal size balcony. And I think the room is a little bit larger, but I'm not going to swear to that on a Bible or anything. And then you have a concierge, but I will say that I never really saw my concierge. I mean, I guess it's sort of my room steward, who was fantastic, by the way. I think the main benefit is the pillow menu and the upgraded bedding and then the little hors d'oeuvres. And many people say that they never eat the hors d'oeuvres. I did try them most days. There were a couple of days where I didn't because we were in meetings all day. It was really nice actually to have those there though, because, you know, you get a little peckish in the afternoon, and rather than go up to the buffet and stuff yourself accidentally, it was nice to just have a little bit to eat. So that was nice. I did not drink the bottle of champagne. However, I think I would have had I not been on a work trip with meetings all the time.
Did you take it home?
I didn't. I actually almost forgot half my clothes, but I debated it. But I honestly am looking right now at a bottle of champagne that I brought back from my trip in May that I didn't drink on board another ship. I was like, I don't need another bottle of champagne. So, and my suitcase was already overweight, you know, all those things. So. Yeah.
Sandy, what'd you have for a room?
I had a regular balcony room. So it was nice. I was sharing it with somebody. You know, I would say the shower was a good size. It wasn't like, I didn't feel like I was bumping into the doors when I, you know, would move around and stuff. We took advantage of the free continental room service breakfast, which was basically coffee, juices, fruit, you know, some pastries or toast. If you wanted like a hot breakfast or eggs, something like that, I think the charge was like $10 if you wanted something else. But we only really cared about the coffee. So that was pretty good. I thought it was a nice room. We were really far forward. We were almost directly under the bridge. So that was kind of cool. But
Yeah, I was smack midship, which was really kind of nice. I definitely could tell this is a smaller ship than the ones I'd been on recently because it was just so easy to walk. I will say the showers on this ship are notoriously good. They are quite large. The exception, oddly enough, are the suites. Apparently the suites are tub showers. So they actually are much smaller. And our friend Danny Janung from Hard Travel was in a suite, and he complained about it. I won't say he bitched about it, but
well, he does
love the suite, and I can't take a shower.
He likes to show how well he fits in the showers.
Yes,
on YouTube. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Nice.
Great. Next topic's Long Club, which we've already started to cover. What other activities do they do on the Long Club that we haven't talked about yet?
I saw golf. Well, putting.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they had like games like that. Maybe I think I saw like bocce ball and yard, like possibly some croquet type stuff.
yeah, they set up different things. Yeah, unfortunately, this is one of those things where we were always in the buildings. Yeah. I mean, in the rooms during the day, so didn't see them. But I definitely saw putting because I almost got hit by a golf ball. So
you would think if that was the case, there'd be golf balls flying into the ocean.
No, it's just putting, not driving, not pitching.
Well, how'd you get hit? Almost hit
then? I was standing by the putt, by the holes. Oh. So the bar, there's only so much room. And so you start spreading out along the side of the ship, and that's where the putting green was. So,
Okay. So that was like accidentally on purpose.
Putting and I was told
by someone familiar with the situation that they used to trim that grass really, really low so that it was more like a putting green. But I think that probably killed the grass, you know, again, the delicate nature. So it is just as long as the rest of the grass. So it's not the world's best putting green. I mean, I think it's probably more fun after a few beers. But if you're a true golfer, you'd probably be a little frustrated with it.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. And what do they have for pools on this ship?
Oh, were there pools?
Pools? Did you even see them?
There were pools. They were very busy when I saw them. So the main pool deck, well, all the pools are on the same pool deck, but there's two pools that are for everybody. And they're basically right beside each other. So you would almost think it was one big pool, but there's actually like a bridge in between. So they're not connected. So it's two pools. But then there's also the solarium, which is the adult only section. And that was kind of nice because that was all enclosed. Like it was air conditioned when we walked through, but I can imagine if you were on the ship in the winter, it would be heated. So that was kind of nice. There was the chairs had cushions in there. There was a pretty big jacuzzi. The restaurant, but not really a restaurant, but like you could get fruits and smoothies and salads and stuff.
Like a cafe?
Yeah, like a cafe. Yeah, something like that. I didn't get to go to that, but I saw it. And then with, like right when you walked like out of that towards the elevators, that's where the spa and the gym were. So that made sense that smoothie cafe was over there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about our favorite subject outside of alcohol, and that's dining. So did either one of you eat in the main dining room?
Several times.
Okay, and?
It was good. It was an 8-night cruise, and the way they had it set up for us was they basically reserved a big portion of the dining room just for our conference. So we could wander in, and the tables were set up, and you could sit with the people you walked in with or found a table that worked for you. So that's what we did. And we had two different dining times. And I think if you're not, if you're there just as a regular guest, I think you can do kind of freestyle dining. I'm not sure what they call it on Celebrity, but we had two dining times. So depending on what shows we wanted to see and stuff, we would, manage our dining accordingly.
All right. And how about specialty dining? I know there's a bunch.
So I ate, as I mentioned, Lumine, which is just for sweet guests. So it's not, I guess, technically not specialty, but I only had breakfast there. There's Murano, and I ate there once. And Sandy, did you eat there as well?
I did not.
Okay. Yeah. So that's really good. Sort of a steakhouse feel, steakhouse and seafood. I was under the impression at some point that it was French, but it didn't seem, when I looked at the menu, I lost that impression. Really, really nice, great selection of food. And then there's Tuscan Grill, which I ate at five times.
Wow. I ate there twice.
Yeah. You know, I don't recommend that. It's Italian. So I thought, oh, I can eat an Italian restaurant five times. But the menu isn't huge, and I was invited to go, so of course I'm not going to turn it down. I will say that the big buzz of our conference were these meatballs there, and so of course I tried the meatballs because you had to, because they were talking about how good they were, and they did not disappoint. They were very good, but they were huge and they were very filling. So if you intend to eat anything else, it's going to be a bit of a chore. but you know, your standard sort of general Italian fare, like the appetizers included calamari, meatballs, bruschetta. They had some little pizzettas, kind of like flatbread pizzas or salads. And then they had pastas, fresh made. I could almost recite the way that our server's little feel because I heard it five times. And then steaks. And the steaks were actually, and some fish. So like three seafood choices and about four or five cuts of steak and dessert. So it was great. It was very good. And then there's another restaurant called Cuisine. I always say this wrong. So it's the letter Q and then S-I-N-E. And it is currently home to Le Petit Chef, which is the big gimmick of on Celebrity. And these exist in a couple of other places too, but it's this sort of projection onto pure white tables and white plates of animation that includes a little chef and he tells you a little story. And there's actually two animations that run during the cruise. I only did the first one. And I think Sandy, you also did that same one, right?
Yeah.
With the tomatoes and the, it's really cute. And, you know, you don't see too much about it because I think they don't want to spoil it. Many people on our cruise sort of said, well, this is sort of like Wonderland, right? And I was like, I don't think it's really anything like Wonderland, except no. It's very Wonderland being the specialty dining restaurant on Royal Caribbean. But I think Wonderland is much more about the art of the food, whereas Le Petit Chef, it definitely has artistic food, but it's more about the story and the animation and all of that. So it's a really cute experience. I highly recommend it. It's really well done. It's very clear. It's a little cutesy. I learned a few things. Like now I know where tomatoes originated. I didn't know that before.
And I thought the food was fantastic in there too.
Yeah.
You know, and going back to the Tuscan Grill, though, because I didn't get to say what I thought of it.
Sorry.
just like a little side note. The first night I was in there, I had the filet, and they also had sauces you could get with your steak, and I had the gorgonzola, and that was fantastic. But if you want to try a pasta, they can bring you like a half portion of it, so you can get like a little taste. And I had the lobster Alfredo, like, and everybody kind of had a taste of it. So that was really cool that they would do that. So, yeah, back to Le Petit Chef. What were you going
to
say?
Well, actually, to continue that thought, they do have, because it's sort of a steakhouse kind of feel, they had separate sides. And you could get an eggplant parmesan side that was literally this tiny little eggplant parmesan. It was so cute. Mm-hmm. There was no way I could have eaten it because everything else was so filling. But so I think I was kind of done with Le Petit. The only other thing I was going to say is it is a fixed menu because it's fixed animation. So it's designed that like he cooks the food for you and then they, you know, boop, there it is on your plate. However, there is a universal understanding that not everybody likes everything. And so there is an alternate menu on the back and you can choose for any course to substitute out the other thing. They tell you though, you know, just know that it won't match up with the animation. So you sort of have to be okay with that.
Another thing to note is you can't show up early and try to like worm your way in there. It's like a showtime. Like it's set.
It's a 2-hour show.
Yeah.
You'll be there for 2 hours. So, and that actually, I also found the wine pairings there were very reasonable and both in quality, quantity, and in price. So three things, quality, quantity, and in, well, I guess that's quantity, number of glasses, and also the serving size of the glasses, so that you didn't really walk out of there stumbling, you know, down the hall. It was a very doable.
Except for the day that we were in the tropical storm.
Yeah, except for the day of the tropical storm. That was not due to the wine.
Yeah. All right. Looks like there's a ton of different bars. Did anyone stand out in particular?
The martini bar was super cool. Mm-hmm. They had kind of, the bartenders really put on a show. It was very cocktail, you know, a la Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise.
Yeah, that was cool. But if you have the regular drink package, you're going to be paying like $8 extra for a martini because the regular drink package only covered drinks up to $10. So you pay the difference. And those were like $18 drinks. So,
oof.
Yeah.
Well, and on top of that, the premium beverage package, and this I will criticize Celebrity far and wide for, the premium beverage package goes up to $17, but there were many, many drinks that were priced at $18, which means you're getting charged $1, which is a ridiculous waste of everyone's time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, if it really means that much to you, either charge a little bit more for the premium or bring the drink prices down to $17, because there's really no reason for that extra dollar.
There were a lot of $11 drinks too.
Yeah. I really feel like it made me feel like they were trying to annoy me. You know, it's like, you know what your rules are, and then you're setting these drinks $1 more than what your rules are. And that's just, I just feel like that's so nitpicky. And of course the server has to create a check for you. You have to sign it. It's like all this extra work for a dollar. I'm not going to say infuriating, but I'm going to feel it.
One of the ones I liked was the Ensemble Lounge. It's kind of the lounge that's outside of the specialty dining restaurants. So a lot of people just gather there in the evening before their reservation. There's like some live music playing. That one was pretty nice. I liked that. And lots of comfy seating. We were always kind of a big group, so we were trying to get more seats around us. But I did like the feel of that lounge area that was on deck 5.
Yeah. I think also Craft Social, which is across the Martini Bar, it has a great feel to it. It was one of those places that charged $18 for everything. So, but it was a cool place to hang out. It did not have a whole lot of seating, but it did have a little bit of pub food that you could order. I did not order it, but I had heard the others did. I do think it was an additional charge.
It was.
But they said it was quite good. Yeah. So, and it's kind of nice because it's the Martini Bar is a little bit more, well, martini-ish, and it's an ice bar. So there's like a little film of ice on the bar to keep everything cold. Whereas Craft Social is a little bit more of a pub feel. So you get two very different feels right across the hall from each other. So, I liked that one, except for the whole $18 nonsense.
Did you ever go in Quasar? The one that was
not the nightclub. No, I think our youth group went in there. The young people went
the
in there.
The under 45 group.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was ever open. I mean, I thought I saw them doing like trivia or something in there, but when I watched like a video when I was writing these show notes, I'm like, oh, it's like a late night disco. Oh,
yeah,
that's what it was. Yeah.
Well, and when we were planning to go, I actually, so, you know, true to form, we had a 5 o'clock cocktail hour for Outlander Travel where we could all get together and just make sure at the end of the day we saw each other. Cause you know, we all sort of scattered to the wind. And so I planned out which bar we were going to go to each night, and Quasar was on my list, but then I sort of couldn't tell if it would ever be open at 5 o'clock. It wasn't very clear on the hours. And I think that is because they tend to use it for things like trivia and things like that. So I was like, well, I'm not going to risk us all showing up there at 5 o'clock and not having anything to drink. So.
Yeah. And then the Sky Lounge was pretty cool. I met Amy there one night before dinner and it was empty, but it was open. But that was a good late night venue as well. They had some dancing up there and band karaoke, which was really cool.
Yeah, I love live karaoke. That was so much fun to see. And our own Lindsay did quite a bit of it, and she's really quite talented. She's a very pretty voice. Yeah. So that was the only night I went up there was for the live karaoke. And that was another one that I didn't put on our list because I thought that it would often be used for private events and or not be open at 5 o'clock. I wasn't sure. So, but it was. And the other ones we really didn't try were the outdoor bars because it was really hot or it was raining, depending on what point in the week it was.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So let's talk briefly about the itinerary. This is one of the more popular itineraries, the ABC Islands. Uh-huh. So Aruba, Bonaire, and Curacao. So let's start with Aruba. What kind of
stuff did we do?
Yeah. Shore excursions. There we go. That's the word.
Well, I was with a group who went to the Hilton and hung out by their pool. One of the agents had set it up and called ahead to see if we could rent a palapa. And so that's what we did. We went and checked out the Hilton. And sometimes you can do day rooms there too. We didn't do a day room, but there was food and beverage service and a beach and pool. But we stayed mainly on the beach.
And you can't just go there. You have to have reserved it. I mean, you can't just wander in and use one of their palapas.
Right. Yeah, you have to check in and do that. Yeah.
So, and I actually went to the Marriott, which is probably my happy place at this point. The last time I went to Aruba, I was like, oh, I've stayed at this hotel before. I can't believe I'm staying there again. And this time I sought it out, went back there because I love the beach there. I actually took a room for the night so that we could use the palapas there. And it was funny because as we were walking around looking for palapas, I kept saying palapas. And one member of our party thought I was saying falafel. So we now call them falafels. That Aruba was the day, though, that it was right at the tail end of the tropical storm. And so it was actually cloudy and a little bit rainy in the morning. And so it wasn't until the afternoon that the sun came out. So it wasn't a lot of excursions got canceled that morning because the weather just wasn't cooperating. It's very unusual for Aruba. I was so glad that if it was going to happen, it happened on an island that I'd been to before. So I was like, I know what it looks like when it's really sunny and beautiful.
Yeah, I walked around the port a little bit before we went because it was still raining when we got there. And then we went over to the hotel probably around noon. So we still had, I mean, we were there till like 9 p.m. in port. So it was a good long day. And the area we went to had a lot of cool restaurants and seemed like it'd be really good to just walk around and explore. So I felt really safe there. It was really cool. Liked it.
I was going to ask what your port times are, because I know on our cruise in December, the islands are so close together that you're there like 12 or 13 hours. So that's pretty cool. That would be nice to be able to go out to have dinner locally too, if you decided you want to do that.
And all three of these islands have very good restaurants on them. So that's, you know, people often ask us about going to Aruba and wanting an all-inclusive, and there just aren't very many on Aruba. And part of the reason there aren't is there are a ton of restaurants, and the restaurants do not want all-inclusives to be there. So they kind of fight against it. But honestly, with that in mind, those restaurants are really good. And so the Hilton is actually one of the places that I would recommend when people don't want to have to, you know, they want an all-inclusive, but they're not happy with the choices that are there. The Hilton isn't all-inclusive, but you don't have to walk very far to get to restaurants. Yeah. So, and in some cases, like if you compare it to something like Moon Palace, it's probably closer to the, you know, it's probably less walking than some of these huge mega resorts. So it's not all-inclusive price-wise, but at least everything's really close together and you don't have to drive anywhere.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So how about Bonaire?
So Bonaire, we did a four-wheeling. Do we call it four-wheelers?
ATV. There was some confusion because four-wheeling can be where other people are driving, but they were ATVs. We were driving our own ATVs.
Yeah. That was really fun.
And a safe little dirty. Ride.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, I didn't know this before. I thought I had read everything, but when we got the ticket for the excursion, it said that you had to wear long pants. And I was like, I didn't bring pants. So, but I did actually have a pair of pants, which was lucky, I guess. But they let people do the excursion who were in shorts. They just kind of made them aware that it could be hot. You know, they get hot near the exhaust, I guess.
And you could get cut because that's, the, you know, flying rocks and things like that is partially protection.
Yeah.
I'm now an ATV addict. It's hard on your body. Well, it's hard on my body, but, and it's hard on your hands. And I will say it took me probably an hour or two after we got off of them for me to fully regain feeling in my hands. Cause you're gripping so hard, you know?
Yep.
But totally worth it. I mean, it's a great way to be outside. They described it as we're going to take you to Bonaire's backyard. And it definitely felt like that. It's just, you know, way out.
There were donkeys on the side of the road.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Saw flamingos. It was really cool. Really cool.
Cool. And how about Curacao?
Super cute island. Looks like Caribbean Amsterdam. I did an excursion that took us to some caves that are pretty popular. I saw that and a lot of options for the excursions. So we did the caves and then a beach club after. But the caves were nice if they're above ground, so they're not cool. So you just kind of need to know that, first of all, it's about almost 50 steps that you're going to walk up to get into the caves. And then when you go into them, it's hot. But they've done a really good job of putting in walkways, and they have fans all throughout. So I didn't think it was over exhausting or too extraneous. It was really cool. And they let you take pictures in some of the places, and they told you the history of the caves. And it was really gorgeous. Really pretty.
I toured Sandals Curacao, which we've covered on another podcast, so I won't bore you with the details, but I did. I think it's my favorite Sandals. I'm just going to put it out there.
You're not the only person who said that on this trip.
Yeah, I went in without any real expectations, and I was really, my previous favorite was Sandals South Coast, which it's been a while since I've been there, so now I'm like, maybe I should go back, but I really liked this one. It's really pretty. Yeah.
Good to know. All right. Any last minute thoughts about the cruise?
I think it's important to know that your cruise is, if you do an ABC cruise like this, you're going to be, 2 days at sea and then 3 days in the islands and then 2 days at sea. It's long. So if you don't like sea days, this isn't a great itinerary, at least not from Fort Lauderdale. You can cut the time down a little bit if you leave from San Juan, but you're going pretty far south. It's also hot. It's really close to the equator compared to other places in the Caribbean. So you may think that you're ready for the Caribbean, but it was really, really hot. We saw people being treated for heat exhaustion on a regular basis. So
yeah. And we didn't touch on the entertainment. Just very quickly, there was an Elton John impersonator.
I saw the pictures.
Yeah, he was really good. There was a boy band show that was really, like, got a lot of people excited in our group. It's kind of funny. There was like a acrobatic show, and there was a Broadway type show. There were a lot of good stuff like that. So I would say that all the theater entertainment was really good. They also had a comedian and a magician, which I did not catch, but overall I was really happy with all the entertainment.
I heard the comedian was absolutely hilarious. So
yeah. I think that was the night a lot of people were not feeling well, because they swapped the acrobatic show for the comedian because it wasn't safe. So, yeah. Yep. But two thumbs up. It was awesome. I would definitely go again.
With you again. Yes.
Yep.
Great. All right. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Sandy, Elizabeth, and myself, George, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.